The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Zion Primitive Baptist Church in Zion, Alabama. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.
I want to welcome you today to the Zion Primitive Baptist Church podcast. This podcast is an outreach of Zion Primitive Baptist Church, which is located in the Zion community near Gordo, Alabama. I'm Elder Chris McCool, and I serve as pastor of Zion Primitive Baptist Church. We are a congregation of believers in the sovereign grace of God, where families worship together through the simple practice of preaching, praying, and singing. If you live in this area or are visiting here, we would love to have you attend worship services with us. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. and every Sunday evening at 5 p.m. and the first and third Wednesday evenings at 6:30 p.m. I'm happy to note that our daily podcast is featured on Grace Alone Radio, which you can find at gracealoneradio.net. You can find the schedule on the website, and you can also download an app to your phone so that you can listen wherever you are. Grace Alone Radio is a 24-hour streaming service which carries the message of God's sovereign grace around the clock and around the world. Zion Primitive Baptist Church is located at 9487 County Road 49, Gordo, Alabama. That's near the intersection of County Road 49 and Alabama Highway 159, about 8 miles north of Gordo, Alabama, and about 10 miles northeast of Reform, Alabama. If you're interested in finding more sermons, you can go to our website at zionpbc.com. That's zionpbc.com, where you'll find all of our posted sermons, as well as a link to subscribe to our podcast. You can also subscribe to our website, which will update you every time a new sermon is posted. In most modern churches, the members are segregated out at some point during the worship services in Sunday school classes and youth groups. But when you come to a Primitive Baptist church, you find families worshiping together under the sound of the gospel being preached by a man who has been called into the ministry. In the series we're starting today, we're going to look at the modern concept of Sunday school and youth groups. We're going to see what the scripture has to say about them. And I'll go ahead and let you in on a little secret. The answer we'll find is that scripture promotes family integrated worship, families worshiping together, and not some type of segregated worship. Join us as we begin this important series about Sunday schools and youth groups.
I know that I cannot bring a cycle bando. I cannot preach like the great apostle Paul. But I know that God my Lord for all his favors, for he died.
See my Lord. Matthew chapter 19. We're going to begin reading in verse 13. Matthew chapter 19 and verse 13. Then were there brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, Suffer little children, and forbid them not to come unto me. For of such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them and departed thence. Zion Primitive Baptist Church was constituted in May of 1847, specifically on the Saturday before the third Sunday in May. That's why we have our homecoming and decoration day on the third Sunday in May. The church covenant, which is hanging in the foyer back there and was handwritten by most likely one of the elders who helped to constitute the church, contained several provisions, but here's an interesting provision that I want to read to you. And Lord being our helper, I want to elaborate on why we do what we do when it comes to children and the way we teach them in our church. This is the fourth rule, rule the fourth, it says on the church covenant. We also agree not to engage in any of the institutions of man outside of the gospel of Christ, and do solemnly make a declaration of non-fellowship against all the falsely called benevolent institutions of the day, such as missionary, Bible tract, temperance societies, Sunday schools, union societies, and all other societies that are tributary to the missionary plan as now existing in the United States of America. It sounds to me like Zion Church and the people who constitute it were caught up a little bit in a disagreement with what was going on in the religious world in that day. You know, I've said this before, and I say it again, that the split in the early 1800s, specifically around 1830, 1832, that resulted in some churches taking on the name Primitive Baptist, was not over doctrine primarily. It was primarily over practice and some of the things that were being done in other churches that seemed like good ideas at the time, but as we'll see if we continue on this series about why we do what we do, resulted in some really big problems and ultimately resulted in the degradation of doctrine to the point where most Baptist churches today that were constituted in the 1800s, early 1900s, don't even adhere to their articles of faith anymore on how salvation occurs. So these seven saints who constituted Zion Church in that day put this specific reference in here to Sunday schools. There's some other societies mentioned as well, and Lord willing, if we continue, as I said, in this series, we'll talk about the modern missionary movement and that sort of thing, which also got off track. But specifically, they referenced Sunday schools. And I want to point out that one of the things you'll notice when you come to a mainline Primitive Baptist church today is that families worship together. We got kids in here. We don't have them separated out in nurseries and other classrooms. They're here with parents worshiping together. Sometimes those little kids get a little loud. But you know, we have a cry room back there. They get unmanageable. But the other side of that is this, is that I've always said, like a preacher friend of mine, the day I can't out-preach a crying kid is the day I need to sit down and quit preaching. But they worship together, and they're learning to worship in the sanctuary with their parents, teaching them how to worship. So this morning, the Lord being my helper, and please pray for me, because I know some of these things in the musical instruments part and some other things we've talked about, there's a lot of history involved, and there's a lot of stuff that could really get dry and boring, and I apologize to you up front for that, but for any downfall I have about being dry and boring. But some of these things we need to know about, because much in the same way that musical instruments or a new innovation, even though in our lifetimes we don't see that. The musical instruments have just been a standard part of our lifetimes, but in the whole history of the church, musical instruments did not come into use, and specifically in Baptist churches, until the late 1700s and the early to mid 1800s, okay? So in the whole line of history, it's a small portion. And the same thing with Sunday schools and youth groups. And the Lord being my helper, I want to talk about this morning Sunday schools and youth groups and why we don't have them. I do not expect to finish today. I think most likely we'll focus on one part and then come back in a week or so and finish up. But bear with me, because I think it's important that we know why we do what we do. It's important not just, you know, it's fine for the preachers to know. It's good. The preachers ought to know. But the congregation ought to know as well, because there'll be a time when you'll be looking for another preacher if the Lord tarries. There'll be a time when I can't fill the pulpit anymore. And you need to know the kinds of things that the church needs to stand firm on. So let's talk about this morning the problem with Sunday schools and youth groups. Now remember, God cares about how we worship. I came across this verse, you don't have to turn there, in Psalm 87. But go look it up sometime. Psalm 87 and verse 2, God said this, "The Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob." Now I know in that day he was specifically talking about Jerusalem and the place where the temple was set up, which is the place where he had chosen in that day to bless his public worship primarily, okay? But where does he bless it today? The public worship today is in the church. And so that term Zion, it doesn't take a big leap for us here at Zion Church, does it? To realize that applies to us today. And the Lord loves the gates of Zion. He loves his church more than all the dwellings of Jacob. You know, we can worship him wherever we are. We can go anywhere we want to, but when we come to the true church of God, where the true gospel is preached and the true worship is engaged in, the Lord loves that better than anywhere else on this earth. So, we're probably not going to talk in a lot of detail about Sunday schools this morning, but I want to kind of start off talking just in general about youth groups. But by sort of a preface, let's just talk briefly about the modern Sunday school so we know what we're talking about here. It's a good idea to define what we're talking about. What I'm talking about when I talk about the Sunday schools is an age or gender or other kind of segregated classes within the structure of the church. Any classification that separates families, you know, it can be the age groups, it can be the married couples group, it can be the divorced singles group, it can be the college age group. If you go on most modern church websites, you'll find a reference to these different divisions of people that are, they're separated out and they're put into certain categories, and the congregation is split up and they're put into these age or other type of segregated classes within the structure of the church. And most of the time today, in most cases, whether it's a Methodist church or a Baptist church or a missionary Baptist or a Southern Baptist church, there's just one or two publishers that send out the Sunday school literature. It's not based on individual Bible references and studying. It's usually, and I'm, you know, there's exceptions to this, so please bear with me, I understand that. But usually it's sent out by one main or one or two main locations that publish that that material. And when I talk about youth groups, I'm talking about more than just the Sunday school, but the way that the modern religious world segregates out the youth and focuses on them, and particularly providing activities, putting them together with only their age group, maybe with a little bit of adult supervision, but not much, but no mixing of these groups together, these age groups together. The youth group is specifically tuned toward just a certain young age group. And you know, the idea there is partly this, it's that these old folks are kind of old fogey anyway. You know, we don't get it. We don't understand the youth. And, you know, I realize I'm not a youth anymore, Brother Mackey, but But I don't feel like I'm that far removed from 16 years old. You know, I still remember things from when I was 16, 17, 18 years old. I remember my fears. I remember my anxieties. I remember my hopes. I remember how dumb I was in some ways, you know. But I remember there was other things. And, you know, and guess what? When I was 16 years old, I thought my daddy didn't understand me either, you know. I just knew. He got real smart between age 16, when I was age 16, to the time I turned about 23 or 24. He got real smart. or maybe I matured a little bit. Something happened anyway. Now, let me make this clear. We are not, Primitive Baptists do not, are not saying that young people should never, ever get together or visit or be friends with each other or do things together. They should do it just like adults do, okay? We should all, from time to time, be getting together. And we can't always get together as the whole church. You know, one of the reasons for the meal that we're going to have today and that we do twice a month, I mean, look, I love the eating. You know that. it's a great meal. And we have great food. But it's primarily about fellowship. That's when we call that a fellowship hall. You know, the eating and the coming together, the breaking of bread together, as they did in the early church, was primarily to get us together into fellowship, which is another mark of the church, by the way. The kingdom of God is not just marked by dry, didactic preaching. Okay, you can get that in a college seminary somewhere, okay? But it's about more than that. It's the spirit-filled fellowship that we have one another. So we're not saying that young people should never get together or that we shouldn't think about them or focus upon them in any way. But we often hear what we are saying is that there's no scriptural basis for the youth to be organized into separate, segregated groups within the church for teaching, for preaching, for worship and activities. That's not the way it's supposed to be. And we often hear people say things like this: well, I'm going to go to this church over here because they have the best youth ministry. They have the best youth group. They have the best youth pastor. Well, not to be, please understand, I'm not trying to criticize or be harsh to anybody, but we are not looking for youth pastors. I'm not looking for youth pastors. I'm looking for true pastors. Now, they may be young. Brother John Morgan's a young man. Brother McNeil Honey, who just preached for us, he started preaching when he was 15 or 16 years old. Elder David Crawford, who is a little older than me, and just left McClenny Church, he took the church as pastor when he was about 18 or 19 years old. I love young pastors, but we're not looking for youth pastors. We're looking for true pastors that will preach, that are called by God, that will preach the word as it is in the scriptures. You see, so we have this Sunday schools and youth groups. Here's the problem. The truth is that the modern Sunday school youth group approach really doesn't work anyway. From a blog entitled, "Why Are Millennials Leaving the Church in Droves?" A 2015 poll by Rainier Research cited that 70% of youth who were active in a youth group have left the church by the time they're 22 years old. A man named George Barna, who created the Barna Group, he is a big proponent. He's not Primitive Baptist, but he's a big proponent of family integrated worship, okay? He estimated that 80% of those raised in the church will be disengaged by the time they're 29 based on the data. And according to one, what he called de-churched person, somebody who left the church, this person said, "I guess the church just sort of churched the church out of me." I never thought about it that way. The church, the modern church now, the religious world, just sort of churched the church out of me. There's a recent article on an Australian website, it's a Christian website called Christianity Today, that says this: recent polls show that Christian teenagers are turning away from the church. Some believe unfulfilling youth groups and parents' overdependence on them may have something to do with it. According to a survey sponsored by the U.S.-based National Center for Family Integrated Churches, 55% of American Christians are concerned that modern youth ministry is shallow and too entertainment focused. Over a third, 37%, even agreed that youth group programs are not actually biblical. And this spokesman for that National Center for Family Integrated Churches, a man named Adam McManus, said he's not surprised by the results. He said he believes that they are evidence of teenagers in the church being focused on their peers and not their parents or their pastors. He said today's church has created peer dependency. It's a foreign sociology that leads to immaturity, a greater likelihood of sexual activity, drug experimentation, and a rejection of the authority of the Word of God. In an online article by Mission Network News, that's based here in America, a youth director at a church in Birmingham, a man named Cameron Cole, said, "There's a propensity in our culture to outsource the development of our children." Think about that, outsourcing the development of our children. And listen to, for intellectual development, we send them to school. For athletic development, we send them to Little League. And for spiritual formation, we send them to youth group. The church has done a poor job of communicating to the parents that they are the primary disciplers of their children. See, that's one of the problems with relying on Sunday schools and youth groups. I want to say to you, just clear as I can, and let me pull it into even what we do. 1 hour on Sunday or 2 hours on Sunday cannot teach your children or yourselves what you need to know about Scripture. I can't teach you about the Word of God the way you need to be taught. I hope I'm preaching the things that God would have me to preach. And I believe I am. I'm trying to. But if all you get and if all we get is 1 hour on Sunday, then we're never going to be the disciples that we need to be. A guy named Drew Deek, he wrote a book called Generation X Christian back in 2010. He said in the 1980s, business thinking took the world by storm, changing the way many congregations in North America did ministry. I've said this for a long time, that the modern mega church is more like a corporation than a church. You know, the church is not to be an organization. It is an organism. It is the body of Christ. It's a living, breathing, we're lively stones, Peter tells us. We're living stones. It's not, you know, this is not a corporation that I'm the CEO of. This is the body of Christ that he is the head of. The Lord has put pastors and others in leadership positions in the church, but the ultimate leader is Christ, and the business model will not work. He said, perhaps nowhere was the impact felt more profoundly than in youth programs. Instead of placing the emphasis upon discipleship, listen here, the focus shifted to attracting large numbers of kids and keeping them entertained. Not necessarily bad goals, the attracting of kids, of course, is not, but they've had some ugly, unintended consequences. Today, many youth ministries are practically devoid of any spiritual engagement. Some have been reduced to using violent video game parties to lure students through their church doors on Friday nights. This church researcher that he cites here, I like what he says. There's a church researcher named Ed Setzer, and he described most youth groups as holding tanks with pizza. He said, recently I asked this other guy to solve a riddle for me. Why are so many teenagers who were active in youth group leaving the faith after high school? And this was his response. His response was simple. Let's face it, he said. There are a lot more fun things to do at college than eat pizza. And that's a pretty good summation of it, isn't it? Well, those are some good quotes from people and some research, and it's important that we understand that. What does the Bible say about it? Over in Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 20. Turn with me there just for a moment. It's a real short verse, but rather than quote it, I want to read it. Proverbs 13 and verse 20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Now listen, I'm not, you know, we're blessed here. We got some young folks. We got some young married folks. We got some babies coming on. We got some older folks. And you can be a fool in any one of those categories. As we've said many times about some older people that we've read about that have done some really dumb, ungodly things. My grandmother used to say, there's no fool like an old fool. And that's true. So you can be a fool if you're an old person. But when you're a young person and you don't have the experience of life, the victories, the losses, the hurts, you need to be, you know, you can learn all about that by just trial and error. You can learn about electricity by sticking your finger in the light socket. You can do that. And you'll learn a really hard, difficult, hurtful lesson. And you probably won't do it again. But you could also listen to somebody wiser than you who's done it before or seen it done or knows better and not ever go through that yourself. That's what the whole book of Proverbs is about. It's an inoculation against sticking your finger in the light socket. You don't have to do that. You do not have to beat your head against the wall to understand that that'll give you a headache. The book of Proverbs will tell you that. You know, and someone wiser than you can tell you that. The book of Proverbs teaches us things that are life experiences that we don't have to go through. And here's one of them. He says, if you want to be wise, who do you need to hang out with? Young folks, particularly. Who do you need to hang out with? You need to hang out with wise people, with people who are maybe older and wiser, that have proven through their life that they know some things that you don't. When I was a young man, I liked hanging out with my buddies. They affirmed anything I wanted to do. If I said, hey, watch this, and wanted to run, jump off a cliff, they would say, go, you know, whereas my daddy would say, no. You know, those young folks sometimes don't have the wisdom that they need. If you want to be wise, hang out with wise people. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed, you see. And this is the point, and this is what we're talking about here, and this is why we don't believe that our youth should be organized into youth groups that hang out and that have only themselves to pal around with. No, we believe in family-integrated, age-integrated worship here in our church and in most Primitive Baptist churches.
Due to the constraints of time, we will stop the message here. But please join us tomorrow for the conclusion of this message. If you would like to subscribe to our website, please go to www.zionpbc.com and sign up for email updates. If you have any questions, please feel free to contact the church at zionpbc1847@gmail.com. That's zionpbc1847@gmail.com. Or you can email me directly at jchrismccool@gmail.com. That's the letter J. chrismccool@gmail.com. Again, thank you for listening. May the Lord bless you is my prayer.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.